registered to vote and then actually vote. It's our country. Bill Martinez.
Thank you so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
No, he realized he was in trouble. He should have stopped there, but he kept on digging a hole. You got to love him. Hey, welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent. We are right here in our conversation with the author of Flamethrower Continues, Brian Mark Rigg. Let me set the stage a little bit more here. We're looking at what was going on in the Pacific Theater, because late in the Pacific War, as they say, Americans were fighting their way to the home islands of the Japanese Empire. One of the fiercest battles of World War II was raging. The Japanese had created perhaps the best defended area anywhere on an island called Iwo Jima. Days into the bloody battle, casualties were high on both sides. U.S. Marines were taking an awful pounding out in the open from enemy fortified positions. You know, Brian, the Japanese knew that, this was it. I mean, if Iwo Jima fell and the Americans continued to get closer to the Japanese empire and the homeland, then it was going to be over. So, I think it's hard for people to really understand is the psychology of the Japanese soldier, which you bring out in Flamethrower. Help our audience understand how committed these Japanese soldiers were to the empire and, and to their emperor.
Yeah, you know, as I dove into this, I've written four books before this on World War II and the Holocaust, and I've interviewed a lot of Holocaust victims and interviewed a lot of German soldiers of the Wehrmacht, and I was blown away by the radical mindset that most Japanese soldiers had. They made the Germans look weak. In fact, I have a theory that, thank God the Germans didn't have the fanaticism of the Japanese, which is remarkable when you look at Nazi Germany, and thank God the Japanese didn't have the industrial might and tactics and the hardware that the Germans had, because if that happened, if that reversal happened, we may have not won the war. Right. Now, the Japanese, to give people an understanding of these people, they had taken their Japan is the size of California. They took over 1/7 of the Earth's circumference. They ruled basically 600 million people. Nazi Germany only ruled 450 at their height. And they slaughtered, in what I'm calling Japan's Holocaust, 22 million people, mostly Chinese. And a lot of people don't know that. We hear about the Holocaust and 6 million Jews. But the Japanese were actively killing in China starting in 1927. You know, the Holocaust under the Nazis only really began in 1941. So they had over a decade more time to spread their evil empire. And these people were not only fanatics ideologically, but they were religious nut jobs, and they were actually serving Hirohito, who was an actual Shinto god in human form, and everything was justified in their eyes of taking out what they called gaijin, or non-humans or non-Japanese, and they were
the less than.
And they were just as vicious as the Nazis, and unlike the Germans after the war, who have paid $90 billion in reparations and have monuments all over their land commemorating the victims. Japan has paid $1 billion to their victims and has hardly any monuments in their land. And they deny this in their textbooks, any monuments of their land to the victims, and deny this in the textbooks, and they behaved shamefully. So when we met the Japanese soldier at Iwo Jima, these guys had decades, not just 10 years like the Nazis did with Hitler, but these guys had literally decades from the 1800s of radical ideology that created a fascist nation And these guys were suicide bombers down to the last man. They, while many armies tout to fight the death motto, the only modern nation to do this was Japan. They had a 98% fatality rate when they went into combat. Basically, Americans and Germans in World War II, once you had 30% fatality rate in your unit, you surrendered. The Japanese never did that. And when they killed, when I read a whole bunch of the German files, a lot of the Germans and the hardcore SS guys, they were having a hard time killing Jews. They did it. I mean, of course, they were horrible with killing 6 million, but many of them struggled with what they were doing. They had problems with alcoholism. That's one reason why Himmler wanted to get more distance, and they started using gas chambers and using the inmates themselves to do the killing, because the Einsatzgruppen and the killing squads that went out and shot people were having a horrible time with suicide and functioning as, soldiers and people in the Third Reich. So, but with the Japanese, when they went out, like the Rape of Nanking, and they raped everywhere. It's sick to read this. Mm. They raped everywhere. They killed. They cut off people's heads. They played with the body parts that they cut off in a Jeffrey Dahmer type of way, and they didn't care. Almost all of them didn't have any questions in their mind that this was wrong. So what we did in World War II of taking Japan down to their knees and preventing them from creating a carnival of, horrible crimes all throughout Asia, we need to really let our people in America know what our boys, our Marines, and our GIs did by defeating Japan. And then when you learn about this enemy and how horrible he was, and how there was going to be no surrender, going through all these archives in China and Japan and America, it really becomes very clear to me, oh my God, thank God we had the atomic bombs.
Exactly.
We would have lost millions, taking over Japan. So, yeah, I really have a long chapter, thanks for letting me talk about this, Bill, about the enemy.
Well, I think this is so important. This is so important, Brian, because a lot has got lost in translation, because there it was so horrific in the European theater, and we look at Germany, and to hear you, describe the mindset and the psychology of the Japanese. Now, we do this, with some caution here, because we have modern Japan versus Japan there, but there is a lot for us as human beings who are alive today to, to make a choice. And this is why I'm so concerned about what's happening right now, even in our country, the dehumanization of people, this cancel culture, making people feel like they're less than. I mean, who gave anybody the right to reject and think that people are less than? Because if you start thinking that way, then you start having police officers lay their knee on somebody's neck for an extended period of time, and he dies needlessly. I mean, this is a fellow human being. Or you have two people stalking an individual who's jogging, and you take it upon yourself to murder that person. I mean, this is an indictment on our current culture, that I get concerned about. But because if you're on that trajectory, then you think, okay, well, we're not as bad as the Nazis. But then, you find out the psychology of what was going on with the Japanese back then. And this had been done over time. I mean, this is decades of indoctrination and the invalidation of human beings other than themselves. I mean, this is extremely dangerous where we are right now.
Well, yeah, you bring up some interesting points. I mean, it's a slippery slope when you start saying the others and start dehumanizing people as them. But, the beautiful thing about our democracy and what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Benjamin Franklin gave us is that the ability to talk about this and to question our leaders and to bring out the information of freedom of speech is incredible. So although we have these instances that are horrific, most Americans agree these things should not happen. Whereas in Nazi Germany and Japan, this was encouraged. It was great.
Exactly. We've got to go to break, and we've got more from the author of Flamethrower, Brian Mark Riggs. Stay with us.